Alright, let's build a proper immense style call and response riff in Ableton Live 12, with crisp transients on top and dusty mids underneath. This is the kind of edit that can carry a DNB drop without sounding too polished or too busy. We want it to feel alive, intentional, and just rough enough to have character. For this lesson, think in terms of conversation. The break is one voice, and the bass is the other voice. If both are talking at the same time, the groove gets cluttered. So we're going to let the drum edit speak clearly, then let the bass answer with a gritty mid-range phrase. That push and pull is what makes the riff feel like a hook instead of just a loop. Start by setting your project around 170 to 174 BPM. That gives you a classic DNB tempo where the edit can move fast but still breathe. Load an amen style break into an audio track, ideally something with strong kick and snare contrast, some ghost notes, and a bit of room grit. That dusty detail matters. It's part of what makes the riff feel worn and human. Now, warp the loop carefully. If it already feels tight, use beats mode and preserve the transients. Don't iron out every tiny timing variation. A little looseness is a good thing here. It gives the break that jungle-flavored swing and keeps the edit from sounding sterile. Next, slice the break into something playable. Right-click the clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. Slice by transients if the break has clear hits, or by 1/8 notes if you want a cleaner grid to work from. Ableton will map the slices to a drum rack, and that's where the fun starts, because now you're composing with fragments instead of just looping audio. Focus on a handful of useful slices first. You want your kick, your snare, a hat or ghost hit, maybe the tail or room sound, a pickup slice, and one slightly messy slice for texture. Don't be afraid of imperfect slices. In DNB, those rough edges can be the difference between a loop that sounds programmed and a riff that sounds alive. Now build the call phrase. Program a simple two bar pattern using your strongest transient slices. Put a kick-led hit on the downbeat, answer it with a snare or rim style chop, and leave a little space between the hits so the groove can breathe. Space is not emptiness here, it's weight. The more carefully you place the hits, the harder they land. If the slices feel too long or they blur into each other, open the simpler inside the drum rack and tighten the amp envelope. Keep the attack ultra short, almost zero, and bring the release down so the tails don't smear into the next hit. You want snap, not wash. If you need a bit more bite, add drum bus on the break group. A little drive and crunch can sharpen the transients nicely. Just be careful with boom unless the low end really needs it, because the sub should stay under control. Here's a useful teacher tip. Use velocity as tone control. Lower velocity often makes slices feel dustier and less clinical. So if every hit is maxed out, try pulling some notes down and listen to how the groove changes. Sometimes a softer hit feels heavier, because it creates contrast. Now let's design the response. Put a new MIDI track underneath for the bass phrase. For this, wave-eatable or analog works great. We want something with a Reese-like or harmonically rich midrange. Then we'll shape it with saturation and filtering. A simple chain could be wave-eatable into saturator, then auto-filter, then EQ8. If you need more edge, add a little overdrive or drum bus. For the sound itself, aim for a mid-heavy bass that lives somewhere around 150 to 800 Hz. You can use slightly detuned saws or a wide unison style patch. If the low end gets muddy, high pass slightly before saturation so the distortion hits the mids more than the sub. That's how you get the dusty character without wrecking the mix. Then program the response so it answers the drums instead of copying them. Maybe it's short, syncopated stabs. Maybe it's a note that opens up toward the end of the bar. The important thing is that it feels like a reply, not a duplicate. In darker DNB, the best riffs feel like the drums and bass are two different speakers in a conversation, each with its own attitude. Now we can build the larger phrase. Think in 4 and 8 bar chunks. Bars 1 and 2 are the call. Bars 3 and 4 are the response. Bars 5 and 6 repeat the idea with a small variation. Bars 7 and 8 bring a heavier response, a fill or a turnaround that points into the next section. That kind of phrasing keeps the loop from getting stale and gives the listener something to latch onto. A very effective move is to change only one thing every two bars. Swap one slice. Move one bass note. Open the filter just a little. That's enough. You do not need to rewrite the whole phrase every time. In fact, if you do too much, the riff can lose its identity. Small changes are often what make an edit feel professional. Now let's add modulation so the loop stays in motion. On the bass track, automate the filter cutoff a little over time. You do not need a huge sweep. In DNB, subtle movement is usually stronger than dramatic movement. Maybe the bass is slightly more open in the last bar or the response. That alone can make the phrase feel like it's leaning forward. On the break group, you can automate a tiny bit of reverb or delay on a pickup hit or fill. Keep it very controlled. A short delay ping on one ghost note can add depth without washing out the groove. You can also bring drum bus drive up slightly in the last two bars, then pull it back. That creates tension, without losing the dry attack that makes the riff hit hard. And here's an important rule, protect the transients. If the attack disappears, the whole edit loses authority. In drum and bass, the front edge of the sound is everything. So keep your effects snappy, keep your tails short, and always listen for whether the kick, snare, and bass are landing like one mechanism. That downbeat handshake is what makes the section feel solid. Now handle the low end cleanly. If your bass sound has too much bottom, split out a dedicated sub layer with operator or a clean wavy double sign. Keep it mono, keep it simple, and let it follow the root notes or pedal tones of the phrase. Use utility to collapse the width if needed, and sidechain lightly from the kick if the groove wants more punch. If the mid bass is crowding the sub, carve a little space around 90 to 150 Hz. That lets the sub own the fundamental while the mid layer does the speaking. Separation is everything here. The ear can handle a lot of aggression if each part has a clear role. At this point, group your elements. Put the break edits in one group and the bass response in another. On the drum group, a gentle glue compressor can help glue the hits together, and a little EQ can smooth any harsh edges. On the bass group, saturate first, then clean up with EQ. If you want some width, keep it in the upper harmonics only. The sub and fundamental should stay centered and mono safe. This is a great point to resample. Print the full 8-bar phrase to audio. That step is huge in edit-based DNB production, because once you have it on audio, you can start carving the best moments, reversing a hit, trimming a tail, or stealing a fill from later in the phrase and moving it earlier. That's where the loop starts becoming a real record element instead of just a pattern. A quick coaching note here. One intentionally underprocessed element can make the whole thing feel deeper. If every sound is saturated, compressed, and filtered, the track can flatten out. So maybe one break hit stays a little drier than the rest. That contrast can actually make the riff feel more expensive. As you arrange it, keep it DJ-friendly, use the riff as a clear identity moment right after the intro, or as the first big statement in the drop. Then maybe strip it back in the middle 8 and bring it back heavier in the second drop. Keep your phrasing in 8 or 16 bars so it mixes well and feels natural in a club context. A strong move is to mute the bass response for one bar near the end of the phrase. Just one tiny gap. That little absence makes the next hit feel way bigger when it returns. In DNB, tension often comes from subtraction, not addition. If you want to push this further, try alternating two response sounds. Use one mid-bass tone for the first two bars, then swap to a slightly different harmonic color in the next two. Keep the note pattern similar so the riff stays recognizable, but let the texture evolve. You can also create a ghost call layer by duplicating the break, low-passing it hard, and tucking it quietly underneath. Bring it in near the end of the phrase and it feels like a shadow moving behind the main rhythm. One more useful trick, use note length contrast. Make the call short and clipped, then let the response sustain a little longer. That difference alone can make the question and answer structure much clearer. Short call, longer reply. It just works. Before we wrap, check everything in mono. If the bass response disappears or the riff loses impact, simplify the width and protect the fundamentals. A club-ready edit should still feel strong when the stereo image collapses. If it does, you've built something solid. So the big picture is this. Build the riff from edited Amen-style slices. Keep the transients sharp, let the bass answer with dusty mid-range grit, and shape the whole thing in 8-bar phrases with small variations and automation. Then resample it, cut the best moments, and arrange it like it belongs in a proper DNB drop. For practice, make a short 8-bar version using only 3 or 4 break slices, one bass response patch, and one small variation in the second phrase. Keep it simple, then listen for 3 things. Is the break still clearly Amen-inspired? Is the transient attack crisp? And does the bass answer the drums instead of competing with them? That's the recipe. Sharp up front, dusty in the mids, tight in the low end, and always moving. Now go make that riff hit.